Parshas Re'eh begins with a introduction where Hashem tells Bnei Yisrael, Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lefnechem Hayom Bracha Uklala, that God's going to give Bnei Yisrael, they should see that He's giving a bracha and a klala. This is Moshe's introduction. And Moshe begins by identifying as HaBracha, the idea of the blessing, Asher Tishmu, that you will listen. Whereas when it comes to the klala, the curse that's mentioned thereafter, it says, V'haklala im lo sishmu, if you don't listen. So what's the difference between Es HaBracha, the bracha, Asher Tishmu, and im lo tishmu? The author of the Sefer Magli Tzedek, which is quoted by the Otros HaTorah, a favorite of Rabbi Shalom Rasner of Beit Shemesh, explains that Bnei Yisrael regularly listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, as by default, it's assumed that they will receive the bracha. Es HaBracha Asher Tishmu. However, sometimes people go off the derech, things are aberrant, and thus for the klala, it says, Im lo sishmu, if it should so happen that you go off the pace, then you will be cursed. Es HaBracha Asher Tishmu. That's the default. We expect our Jews to follow the bracha. But if not, so then, Im lo sishmu. Pasuk says later on that Lishechno Sidrashu Uvasa Shama, that we should make it our business to seek out the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and go there. So Rosh Hashanah used to always point out to us that according to the Rambam, the Pasuk Lishechno Sidrashu teaches us that according to the Rambam, Tefillah is not only is Tefillah biblically demanded, but that the Tefillah facing east is also biblically demanded according to the Rambam. It would follow, therefore, that it's a very important issue for a Jew, at least ideally, to be mechaving tfilaso not only in the meaning of the words, but also in the direction that he's davening. It happens to us sometimes that we don't pay so much attention to where we're headed and in what direction we're pointing. L'shichno sidrashu, we have to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina. That's part of the tefillah process. Towards the end of the first Aliyah, we are told, Lo sasu kechol asher anachnu osim po hayom, ish kol hayashar be'inav, each person is doing as is fit in his eyes. So Rebelsky points out that that's the reason that the period of the Bamos was so hard to eradicate. We know that the book of Shoftim and the book of Shmuel both end with the understanding that Bayamim Mohem Ein Melech B'Yisrael Ish Hayasha Bein Aviasa. In those days there was no king, and everyone did what they wanted. And later on, until the building of the Beis Hamikdash, and even thereafter, people Oda Am Mizabchim Umekatrim Babamos, that the people always continued to manage to continue to bring Karbanos on the Bamos. And there was a period of Iser Bamos. Yoshafat and Asa were able to be good kings, but they weren't able to get rid of the Bamos. What was such a big deal about the Bamos? So Rebelsky explains you have to understand that people falsely deceive themselves that certain practices are indeed spiritual, when they are, in fact, not desired by Hashem. The Bamos was such an example. Ideally, Hashem wants us to heed His words. That's the ideal form of spirituality. The antidote to doing what we see fit, by the way, is turning around and recognizing that we need to go ad Hashem. And so therefore the parsha ends, Shalosh pa'amim ba'shana yeh. We have to see Hashem where He wants to be seen. That's the antidote to not doing ish hayasha be'enav. Spirituality is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact of the matter is that later we read about the concept of of Edim and Edim Zomimim. This Vasemis notes that Bnei Yisrael too have a status of witnesses. They're Atem Edai, the Navi tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that we are supposed to be the witnesses to God's involvement in the world. However, says the Vasemis al Derech HaChasidus, good testimony requires the ability that to have it fall to the status of Hazama, that is to say, to have it fall to the status whereby the witnesses can be undone. Their testimony can be challenged by the declaration, Imanu Hayisa B'Makom Ploni, that you couldn't have offered that testimony, you were with us in another location. If testimony can't be challenged, then it can't be an acceptable testimony. This is a concept we call Eidos She'i Ata Yachol LaHazima. And so therefore the Svasema says, when Jews withstand the challenges of history, it's as if God declares, well, Imanu Aisem B'makom Ploni, that you were with us in that in that location. So Moshe Tzvi Neria, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, would add that this is true in modern times as well. No matter the new technology or the challenge, whatever happens comes our way, v'darashta v'chakarta, we have a responsibility to undertake the new frontier and to find Hashem there. And if we can find Hashem in those new frontiers and handle it in a responsible way, then indeed we are handling our responsibility as testimony to the future and to the generations that have also kept their responsibility to be Edom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we get into a whole section of Parashas Re'eh that talks a lot about all the different kashrus symbols. And of course, all animals that have split hooves and chew their cud, we are allowed to eat. So Shmuel Yosef Rabin of London, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once explained that these two signs of kosher animals are relevant to human existence as well. He turns around and he explains that the concept of chewing the cud, at least al derech hadrush, on the more of the metaphoric level, is a sign to a human being to keep reviewing the old things, because there's chiddush, there's new taste in that which is regurgitated and rechewed. Often there's nuance for a modern time. This sign, says Rabbi Rabinov, is a sign of Bein Adam Lamakom. Split hooves, says Rabbi Rabinov, is a representation of money and finances. After all, money is often identified with the hoof in regard to the destruction of the generation of the Mabul. We're told that it's Yukum Asher Baragleihim. The ideal way, the kosher way to handle our money and finances is to split it, not only as our own, but also with those needs and those who have needs for tzedakah. So again, the signs of kashrus and a kosher home are also often the signs of that which is kosher in our lives. Ufanisa baboker v'alachta alecha, the Torah goes over in a certain degree some of the dinim of Yom Tov in Parshas Re'eh, in a famous section that's often read on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. So at the end of the day, at the end of Chag HaPesach, we're told, Ufanisa baboker v'alachta alecha, you'll clear out in the morning and go home. And Rashi explains that staying overnight, which we call Lina, is a chiyuv. And the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah explains that there are two reasons why. Either the fact is that Yom Tov itself requires Lina, or that when one brings a karban, as one needs to do on Yom Tov, then there needs to be Lina, then the person needs to stay overnight. So I remember one of my Rebbeim in the summers, Rabbi Baruch Simon Shalita, quoting Rav Zalman Sarotskin, who explains that either way, whether one needs to stay overnight because of the karban, or whether one needs to stay overnight because of the Yom Tov, the goal is to establish a sense of demonstrating that mitzvah is important to the person. We have a responsibility within our lives to realize that when we do things, these things are important and we should keep a connection to it. In regard to Chag HaPesach, we're told by Yom HaShviyah, Atzeres Tiyah Lochem. It's funny, Pesach is not referred to as Atzeres in the vernacular. Sukkos is not referred to as Atzeres in the vernacular. Shavuos, and of course what we call Shmini Atzeres, those are the 2 days that are identified as Atzeres. However, it's interesting, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky points out that Shavuos is never called Atzeres in the Torah. And why is that? So Rav Yaakov, and I think a similar idea can be found in the writings of the Berditcheva and the Kedusha Slavi and Parshas Naso, they explain that there are two aspects to the concept of Yom Tov. The one aspect is the abstention from work and the action specific to that holiday, the concept of abstaining from work on the one hand, which is not only unique to each Yom Tov, it's generic to the concept of Yom Tov itself. But then there are specific actions that apply to each and every Yom Tov. There's a concept of sitting in the sukkah on Sukkos. There's a concept of eating matzah on Pesach. So since Shavuos has no unique active mitzvah on its own, it can be distinguished specifically as Atzeres. Lazor means to stop. People don't work on Shavuos. However, as far as the Torah is concerned, Atzeres Lashem Elokecha is a reference to all Yamim Tovim. When it's just Yom Tov, then we have such an obligation. Finally, in the Haftorah, which is one of the installments of the Shiva de Nechemta, we're told, Hoy kol tzamei l'chu l'mayim. Right? Everyone who's thirsty should go to water. Rav Rivlin, the Mashgiach in Garim B'Yavne, explains that water is given to anyone for free without charge. This is directly opposed to the other concept at the beginning of the Haftorah, where we find that precious stones are used to glorify Tzion. What's the difference between the stones and the water? So Rav Rivlin explains, you have to understand, Chazal have evaluation different than the economists. Chazal compare Torah to water because water is necessary for life. And so therefore God created water in great quantities and in much availability because water is so necessary for life. However, since it's so prevalent, it's cheap economically. Gold and silver, on the other hand, are not necessary for life. They're luxuries. And so therefore God created them in limited amounts. However, that's why they're expensive economically. It's interesting that what's really valuable in life does not necessarily become that which is important in life. Torah wants us to understand that the same thing is true, says the Radak, in regard to human understanding in Torah. Torah is free. It's able to kol arot salavo yavo v'yito. On the other hand, while Torah should be accessible and relatively free and available, at the same point in time, certain things that are very expensive, college tuition and whatnot, they wind up teaching us a tremendous amount of that which is not necessarily valuable at all. The fact is that the way we value things is not necessarily the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds them important. We need to seek things in life that are important and place our limited time and resources into things that will help us grow. Best wishes for a Shabbat Shalom to all.